Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house this Easter morning. Special welcome to our visitors today. The sunrise service was lovely, a little cool, but lovely nonetheless. And we would like to once again thank the Ecrit family for providing breakfast. It's always so nice to have a hot breakfast right after sunrise service. Thanks to everyone who helped prepare the flowers for our flowering of the crosses this morning. Please find in today's bulletin, there should be a list of all of the donations made and those of who they're in memory of or in honor of. Reminder, no Sunday school this morning. The kids have a party planned and they're going to do that. But for the adults, there'll still be coffee and stuff downstairs. So stick around, visit with each other for a while. On the foyer in the table, you will find VBS sign-up sheets for volunteers, for helping. VBS is so much fun every year. It's a week long in the mornings. This year it's from July 8th through the 12th. And it's great fun, and there's so many ways to help. There's teachers and teachers' assistants. There's adults needed to supervise some of the areas, such as crafts and outdoor games and snacks. And of course, we need snacks. Lots of snacks. All of the VBS activities make for very hungry little children. Summer camp information sheets are also in the foyer. Please, if you're interested in any of the summer camps, let me know and we'll make sure you get registration forms. Those must be in to me no later than April 30th. So memorial service for Luella Scott will be this Thursday, the 4th. The visitation is at 10. The memorial service will follow at 11. Her burial service is in Hiawatha, Kansas, so that will be later in the day. And unless someone else has announcements, I'm going to turn it over to Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Because of his great mercy, he gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from the dead.
This fills us with a living hope, and so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away.
Let us pray. O God of Easter morning, what a glorious day it is. Joy rises within us until we must shout, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Thank you for all the things that we experience standing before the empty tomb. Your love, your compassion, and your gift of new and abundant life. With overwhelming gratitude, O God, we worship this day. Amen.
Want everybody to take notice of the children's display. We won't be doing our children's message this morning because of the flowering of the cross, but as you can see, we've lit up the tomb with the angel that says, he's not here, he has risen. So if our children, all ages of children, would come home up front and start flowering the cross while we sing a few hymns. Come on up, kids.
And congregation, you can have a seat.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to stand during that.
Christ.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. All creation join to say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing, O heavens and earth, reply. Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King. Alleluia. Where, O death, is now your sting? Alleluia. Jesus died our souls to save. Alleluia. Where your victory, O grave? Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise.
Soar we now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Skies. Alleluia.
Crown him with many crowns. Throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er his grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high. That death may die. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways.
From pole to pole, that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet, fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, died for me, thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, Christ arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, God ever living through eternity. Holy, 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 through the darkness hide thee, though the sinful human eye thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Good morning. Bringing the pastoral concerns this week. Jacob Squire's father, Randy, had a kidney transplant surgery yesterday at Research Hospital. He's doing very well and is expected to remain in the hospital for 4 to 5 days. And we were hoping that Jerry and Betty Donahue would be able to be with us today, but Jerry fell this week, and after a second X-ray, he was found to have broken 3 ribs, so he is back in the hospital. And his dialysis on Saturday didn't go very well. They weren't able to remove as much as they needed to, so he's going to be going for more dialysis this week. Russell Stewart is feeling pretty good. His chemotherapy knocked him down a couple of days, but he's feeling better and will be with his family for Easter. Dave Tarver is doing okay following hip surgery. He was able to come home Thursday this week. He had an initial physical therapy consultation on Saturday and will be having physical therapy twice a week. Sue Effie is doing fine after being released from the hospital following her heart surgery, and she will start physical therapy this week as well. Pastor Dennis was able to be released to his son's home on Thursday, where he will be recovering after his back surgery. Tom and Judy Taylor took a special small flowered cross to Dennis on Saturday, which overjoyed him and brought tears to his eyes. He was doing well and was in good spirits. I think Kathy mentioned Luella Scott's memorial service will be this Thursday, April 4th, here at Berry Christian Church. Visitation begins at 10 and the service follows at 11, and then burial will be later in the day in Hiawatha, Kansas, and Pastor Neil will be conducting the service. Carolyn Phipps is getting along okay. She fractured her tailbone and she was able to come here this morning. She gets tired, but it's hard to get comfortable, but she's doing a little better every day. Lou Embry, Connie Stark's father, has not gotten in for his shot yet for a compression fracture in his back, but he's doing okay. John Michael, son-in-law of Jerry and Peggy Treese, had hip replacement surgery that went very well, and he was able to go home on Friday. The doctor said that he will have to have the other hip done in a year or year and a half. And we pray for continued healing and comfort for all of these, as well as others who are recovering from illness, surgery, and loss.
I'd invite you to be in an attitude of prayer as we take to God the concerns that are on our hearts this morning. Let us pray. O God of power and glory, in the rising of the sun, you raised Jesus from the dead. You delivered him from the dominion of death and defeat. You vindicated his ministry and work. You raised him up. We praise you this day for all the gifts of new life that you bring us. Especially do we praise you for all the signs of Easter that we see among us, for all our daily victories over sin and death, for the sustaining love of friends and family who enable us to go on even when life is difficult, for the springtime renewal of nature, for those occasions when peace triumphs over war, justice over injustice, right over wrong. O God of resurrection, we confess, like a dog with a bone, we run aimlessly. We chase our tails looking for things that provide answers to the suffering of the world, looking for comfort to our longest nights. Forgive us, O God, for seeking after worldly things. Forgive us for forgetting to seek you. Speak to us. Call us by name that we might recognize you in our midst. On this day of joy and hope, we pray for those who feel joyless and hopeless, those facing pain and loss, those who have been victims of abuse or gun violence, natural disasters, or warfare. And we pray for our loved ones today, O God, some with faith and others on the fringe, those who are strong and others who are weak, some who are confident and others who are riddled with anxieties, those close at hand and those who are far away in body or spirit. Send your healing and loving spirit upon all who need your touch today, and help all of them and us remember that the Easter hope is a real hope, real because it was born of salty tears and empty hearts, real because it begins at the moment when life is darkest. Help us be Easter people. May the Easter joy be ours, and may others see it in our eyes, in our step, in our voices, in every part of our lives. This we pray in the name of the risen and living Christ, the one who taught us these words to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
More.
Humorist and writer Garrison Keillor tells the story of his first kiss. He says it was in the basement of his girlfriend's home just after she added a cup of chlorine bleach to her wash. Whenever he now smells bleach, and only a half a cup will do, he recalls the warmth of that kiss and the excitement of that first love. What is it that we remember when we gather at this table? Is it the warmth of an encounter with God? The feeling of being at home in Christ's presence? The affirmation that because we are an Easter people, we can always have a fresh start, that new life is always ours. Come now to this table, whether it's your first time or your 100th. Come because this feast is a reminder that God's table is large enough for all of us. Jesus Christ is risen and he rose for us. All are welcome at Christ's table.
Let us talents and tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. Bread is broken, the wine is poured, Christ is spoken and seen and heard. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loaves abound. Christ is able to make us one, at the table he sets the tone, teaching people to live to bless, love in word and in deed express. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loaves abound. Jesus calls us in, sends us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt. Gives us love to tell, bread to share, God Emmanuel everywhere. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loaves abound.
When Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, he took some bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He gave it to them and said, "Take and eat, for this bread is my body. It's broken for you. It's given for you. Take and eat and remember me." And then he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is in the new agreement, the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink, all of you, in remembrance of me. The gifts of God for the people of God."
Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus, who laid down his life for the forgiveness of our sins. As we partake in these emblems, we will remind of the sacrifice made for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God continues to work in and through our world to bring forth a new creation where all are welcomed, all are loved, and all can experience abundant life. God invites us to participate in this creativity. So with great joy in this Easter morning, let us say yes to God's invitation and commit ourselves again to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us receive and dedicate our tithes and offerings in the name of God's resurrecting power.
Heavenly Father, how can we bring you anything in comparison to the glorious gift of your risen Son and the result of an eternal relationship with you? Even so, we come according to your command, bringing tithes, gifts, and offerings. We ask that you bless these gifts and give us wisdom to use them to further your kingdom here on earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
O God, all the work we do, all the good purposes we intend, every act of generosity, each kindness to the stranger, the money we give, each celebrates the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. If you're familiar with the hit musical Hamilton, you know that it's the story of the American founding father Alexander Hamilton, an immigrant who becomes George Washington's right-hand man during the Revolutionary War, and who later served as the new nation's first Treasury Secretary. A theme running throughout that musical is that of time, primarily Hamilton's use of it. Aaron Burr says, "Hamilton is relentless. He wastes no time." And Burr wonders of Hamilton, "How do you write like you're running out of time? Every day you fight like you're running out of time." And the women in Hamilton's life say, "What would you do if you had more time? You could have done so much more if you only had time." Now, I got to wondering if the people closest to Jesus had similar questions of him. The disciples might marvel at his intensity. "How do you preach like you're running out of time? How do you, every day you teach like you're running out of time?" And the women in his life, when they'd heard he was arrested, do you think they wanted to ask him, "What would you do if you had more time?" Or seeing him hang on the cross, do you suppose they thought to themselves, "You could have done so much more if you'd only had time"? Those same women are now at the tomb. There's nothing for them to do but prepare the body to protect it from the elements, so they're there. And where are the disciples? Well, they were there once, full of high ambition, but quite early, Mark tells us, a shadow fell across their ministry. Their understanding of Messiah doesn't fit who Jesus is. They're puzzled and they've misunderstood Jesus, inevitably. Their failure of understanding becomes a failure to serve. So it's really no surprise that the disciples, without understanding, without power, are in the critical moment of trial and execution without loyalty. Mark says they all abandoned him. And in Mark, we see no more of the disciples. But here are the women. "Well, at least we can dress the body," they thought. And then comes the message, "He's not here, he's risen. Go tell his disciples." And they run from the tomb, scared, and did not tell anyone anything. Now, the early church was bothered by this ending to Mark's gospel. So much so that the scribes copying and passing New Testament documents along added other endings to assure believers that Christ was alive and among his followers. I read the short ending with verse 8, but there's a longer ending that goes to verse 20. Sometime today, grab a pew Bible or grab your own Bibles at home and look at those verses. And you can see the text that encouraged faithful people to handle poisonous snakes and drink strychnine cocktails. If you read the alternative endings, they sound like attempts to heal a broken document. So it's no wonder that when Matthew tells the story of the women at the tomb, he continues the story to tell of Christ appearing to them and to their excitement. Matthew doesn't stop there. Jesus appears to the disciples and gives them the Great Commission. Doesn't that seem to be a more appropriate way to end the gospel? Not this truncated way that Mark gives us. But what if we look at Mark's conclusion not as the end of a gospel, but as the beginning of a story? Mark has made his point about the career of Jesus. Mark has as his center and governing event the cross. All the words and actions of Jesus lead to it, and with it, Mark ends his narrative. The cross is so important to Mark that he didn't want to distract the reader's eye from the cross by talking about the appearances of the risen Christ. Mark tells us that the women go to anoint the body, and they're told that Jesus is risen, and they're told to go tell the disciples. And then they hit the ground running. Can you imagine their reaction? Surely their first response was ecstasy. Pilate has not won. Herod has not won. Death does not have the last word. Hate doesn't have the last word. He's alive. He's alive. But then the ecstasy turned to fear. He's alive? If so, now what? Will there be more killings, more trouble, more assignments for us? What's going to happen to us? Where will we go? Will we be crucified as well? And then came the silence. After all, who's going to tell? Who wants to bring up resurrection and face ridicule or arrest? I mean, how do you bring up the subject anyway? I mean, you're sitting at a table at the Jerusalem Starbucks. Who's going to be the first to say, oh, by the way, you know that man called Jesus who was crucified a few days ago? Well, he's alive. Pass me my double latte, please. And all those questions, how do you know? When, where, how? Did you see him? Why you women and not the 12? There's bound to be crowds of curious. Who's going to control them? Which one will be the first to make the announcement? Would you? Who, once struck by the immensity of power of the powerful presence of God, who calls into being things that are not and brings life to the dead, who's going to become chatty and glib? Who's going to be the first town crier? I can kind of understand their silence, can't you? The Danish theologian and philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once said, "Some things are true when whispered, but become false when shouted." It's also true that some things become cheap when shouted. When I hear someone give an easy witness, I wonder, where is that awesome distance before God? I mean, how can anyone talk easily or matter-of-factly in God's presence? Like, God and me are good pals, or Jesus is just one of the boys. When one repeatedly continues to experience the inability to speak when deeply or profoundly moved, then suddenly Christian witnesses must draw their breath in pain to tell their story. Those closest to God, it seems to me, seem to be the ones most sensitive to the strong inclination to keep silent before God. I'm certain that all of us have experienced times in our lives when we were overcome by the moment, when we found ourselves speechless, when we had goosebumps, sort of lumpish in the throat, and maybe tears came to our eyes. Times when what was happening seemed nothing short of miraculous, when everything else was tuned out, when there was nowhere else that you'd rather be than right there in that moment. Aren't those occasions times of intimacy and distance? I mean, intimacy because we have a personal reaction and we're deeply moved, and yet distance because it's awe-inspiring and the moment is almost too much to handle, almost beyond ourselves. When have you been overwhelmed by the moment? Was it when you were in the mountains and your eyes watered not from the cold, but from the breathtaking, awesome beauty of God's creation? Maybe your heart beat faster and your breathing was more rapid and you weren't sure why and you momentarily lost your ability to speak. When has that happened to you? When were you speechless? Was it at the birth of one of your children? Or holding a newborn grandchild? Or maybe being the recipient of a random act of kindness from a stranger or an act of compassion from a friend? When you had to swallow several times before you could speak, when there were no words, just a lump in the throat and a smile on your lips and tears in your eyes, when were you overcome by the moment? I think most of us have experienced those moments when we've been left awestruck and astonished and speechless. So I think we can appreciate the fact that Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome were tongue-tied after having gone to the tomb. In the final scene of Hamilton, after Alexander Hamilton's death, those closest to him long for his legacy to be remembered and shared. And they sing, "Every other founding father's story gets told. Every other founding father gets to grow old. And when you're gone, who remembers your name? Who keeps your flame? Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?" Friends, the women at the tomb are still tongue-tied. They've yet to recover their voices. So is there anyone here? Is there anyone here available to remember Jesus' name, to keep his flame? Who lives, who dies, who tells his story? Who dies? We die. We die to sin. We die to guilt and brokenness and shame. We die to our old selves. We die to despair. Who lives? Christ lives. And because he lives, we do too. Will you go and tell his story? Each Sunday, the invitation is extended to anyone who feels called by God's Spirit to unite in fellowship with a congregation. You may do that through transfer of membership or through first-time confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If God has touched you in that way, I would invite you to come forward as we sing together our hymn of invitation. We'll sing just the first verse of the Old Rugged Cross. Would you please stand?
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sin trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Because the tomb is empty, our lives can be full. So let us go into every place and every day as Easter people. Let us be graceful in spirit, hopeful in word, faithful in deed. May we live for the risen Christ as Christ lives in us. Amen.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever others say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I He lives within my heart.
Thank you.